Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. This episode is forgiveness, releasing the people who did not show up. Forgiveness can feel impossible when the wound comes with a laugh. Today, I will confront the deepest cut. I'm talking about betrayal by those who are very close to you. I will share the painful journey of forgiving, not just a silent church, but close friends, close blood relatives. I'm talking about people I had supported and stood by for years and years. These are the people whom, when functional neurological disorder and grief forced me to close my business and be paralyzed through paralysis, they did not just vanish. Some called to ask what else they could get from me. Others laughed, others mocked my downfall via social media, via text messages. It was very, very painful. It was just something that I did not think people whom you've helped would do that. We will also go into the difficult way of getting to grips with the command in Matthew 6, which commands us to forgive, not as a pardon for their cruelty, but as a lifeline for our own souls. In solidarity, I will distinguish between the internal work of forgiveness and the external choice of reconciliation. And we will practice letting go of the emotional debt no one will ever repay. This story today I call the record book of betrayal. So I'll tell you that in the aftermath of loss, you learn who your people are. You know who your tribe is. You know who is there for the long haul. Not for what you can do for them, but just for who you are. For me, the deepest wounds did not come from strangers. They came from what I felt was the inner circle. People I called family and close friends. The people I supported, both emotionally, financially, and being there, sparing my time. Sometimes letting go and sacrificing other things for myself, my family. I did this for years and years and years. But when functional neurological disorder paralyzed me, I had to obviously close my business. This business I had built, and the silence from many was deafening. People just went silent. Maybe they didn't know what to say, but from some it was even worse than silence.
It was the insincerity in their voices when they spoke to you over the phone or they came to visit. You could tell that they are enjoying every minute of this. Those who really came to visit would just be, you know, maybe some of them really, you can tell insincerity. These are people I helped by giving them homes to live in. These are people I supported financially to pay their bills, some to further their education. I'm talking about people whose crises I navigated with them. They did not just fail to show up. They revealed why they ever were being in my life. Some would make up cruel and evil stories just to stay away from helping, or just to have an excuse, or maybe to feel good in themselves that they can be there for me. Some phone calls that I received were not to check on me or how I'm progressing or was I okay. But some would say to me, "Can you still help me with this? Or what about my job? What am I going to do?" There was gossip, mockery, laughter, all sorts. It was just a very, very strange way of behaving. What sort of world are we living in where people will kick you when you are down? That was just strange. For me, this wasn't just absence. This was active betrayal. It wasn't just that they did not bring food or come and support me or take me to hospital checkups. It was that they were feasting on my suffering. They were feasting on my suffering as entertainment. Some even tried to take advantage of my incapacity, trying to see whether my thought processes are still okay, trying to take advantage. Would you like me to do this? Would you like to do that? But those were never sincere stretching of the hand to help. I can tell you now that I held a record book in my heart. But this record book was not just written in pen. It was written in blood. Bleeding blood. I felt that they owed me loyalty. They owed me dignity. They owed me the compassion that I once gave to them. That's what people do, I thought to myself. The anger was more justified for me. Honestly, it was justified. Because how can people do this? But this anger was also a poison I was drinking daily, hoping that they would die from it. I was killing myself with this record book and the anger and bitterness. This journey towards forgiveness began at rock bottom for me. I realized that I was waiting for justice. I was waiting for them to be remorseful. I was waiting for them to repay me the goodness that would obviously never come. They were not sorry. They were moving on with their lives. I felt used. And I felt really, really, really angry. Forgiveness in this case could not be about their apology. It had to be about my emancipation. It was the agonizing choice to cancel an emotional debt, and that was morally owed to me, but would never be paid back. I needed to come to terms with that. Because the cost of being the permanent debt collector was my soul's freedom. I needed to let go. I needed my soul to be free, not to be tied to all this. I wasn't an emotional debt collector. I had to come to terms with the fact that they didn't owe me anything. Going on to a scripture that kept me going, or that helped me to realize this, I call the scripture the uncomfortable command to be free, because it was the most uncomfortable thing I ever did. When the hurt is this personal and cruel, the command of Jesus can feel like a violation. That's how it felt like to me. How could I possibly forgive these people for what they have done? How can I forgive that? I wrestled with this, with these words like never before. I'm usually very comfortable with being guided by scripture and being rebuked by scripture, but this was, I wrestled with this scripture. The scripture is Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ha! I just felt that, how do I forgive this? Facing the mockery of my downfall, these words initially felt like a spiritual straitjacket, if I can be honest with you. Forgiving them so that I will be forgiven? So to me, it seemed like it was prioritizing their spiritual welfare over my deep pain. And this pain was real. But in my deepest struggle, I began to see a profound, and maybe difficult, truth that was staring me in the face. I realized that here, God is not saying what they did was okay. He is revealing a spiritual law. Unforgiveness is a spiritual toxin. It's something that is first and foremost poison in the vessels that hold it, or a container that hold it. God wants us to be free. The mechanism for our own freedom, our own ability to receive and live in His forgiveness for all our failures and grief, is tied to our willingness to release the toxic claim we had on our souls. That is very important. God was showing me that my right to justice was real. I deserved justice. I deserved compassion. But clinging to it was blocking the very grace I needed to survive. Forgiving them was not about letting them off the hook. It was about getting my own heart off the hook of bitterness that was tearing me apart. It was choosing my life over my rage. In solidarity, I'm going to talk about how to let go without losing yourself. It's very important that in this process of letting go, you do not lose yourself. Forgiving active malice is a different battlefield altogether. I'm comparing that to forgiving passive absence. For me, here is what that grueling process demanded me to do. This is what I found helpful, or how I practiced letting go. First of all, I would say, name the betrayal for what it is. Don't spiritualize it. Call it out by its name. For example, what so-and-so did was cruel. What so-and-so said was exploitation. The gossip or the social media comments or whatever it is felt like betrayal. Call it out. Forgiveness for me, I found that it's powerful when it knows the full weight of what it is releasing. That's what this experience taught me. Remember, God is not afraid of your honest anger. He created you. He's ready for that. The other thing I found helpful in practicing letting go for me was to separate forgiveness from reconciliation. Separate these absolutely, absolutely. There is a very important distinction in forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is the internal work that you do for you. Reconciliation is a relational restoration, and this requires repentance. It requires a change in character. It requires rebuilding the trust. You can and must forgive for your own peace. Your peace matters. However, I also believe that you cannot and should not reconcile with someone who is unrepentant, somebody who is abusive, somebody who is toxic. I believe that reconciliation without repentance is self-destructing. That's my experience. I forgave people in my heart. Forgiving them in my heart did not mean that I had to give them access to my life. Go back to where we were. I didn't have to give them access to what I could do for them. I didn't have to give them access to my vulnerability ever again. Boundaries are the guardians of a forgiving heart. That's what I live by. I found another practice that really, really helped me a lot, which I called No Send Letters of Rage. I would write a letter detailing, maybe, for example, the act of betrayal, the act of mockery, and just write as I feel in my heart. I would not withhold anything. I would use the most ugliest words I felt coming from my heart. I did not send these letters. It wasn't for them. It was for me to drain the poison from my system into paper. Then I would cry over it sometimes and then pray over it. After that, I'll tear it, destroy it, flush it in the toilet or burn it, whichever you feel comfortable. For me, this act of destruction and destroying was my first declaration to say, this that they did to me should not have the capacity to be living rent-free in me anymore. It's not mine. It's this pain needs to go, needed to release myself. But I also needed to acknowledge and writing all the emotions and all the words I wanted to tell them. Thereafter, I would then claim or reclaim my narrative. The story they told or they said about me and the downfall as they looked at it, or the crisis that I was going through, is what they wrote. But I had to write another story. For me, it was now stepping out and stop defining myself by their betrayal, by their gossip, by what they did not do, and begin to define myself by my survival and by God's faithfulness. This really, really helped me. The other one is practicing compassion from a distance. This is the most difficult stage, I can tell you now. It's not about feeling warm feelings about these people, because it's difficult to feel warm feelings about someone. Even when you let go and practice letting go, it is difficult. It is about acknowledging from afar. I'm talking about acknowledging that they are broken. These people are really profoundly broken. Honestly, if you think mocking a person who is in crisis is something that sits well with someone, it reveals a lot of deep spiritual poverty in them. So that way you're saying, God have mercy on their souls. Just help them. But it doesn't mean that you go back and you're friends with them and you're starting where you left off. I believe that forgiveness is the ultimate act of reparenting your wounded heart. You are saying to your wounded heart that, do you know what? The kicking down when I was down, the mockery, the betrayal, all this they did was wrong. And I did not deserve it. But now I'm going to protect myself by refusing to let that cruelty live rent-free in my mind, in my heart, in my life. I'm going to release my soul. I'm going to let go so that I can be finally free. It's about you. It's about selfishness. In this act, this act of doing this is about really about you, not the other person. It's about releasing yourself. If you're holding a record book of a deep betrayal, may you find the courage to cancel this emotional debt for your own sake. You are not approving what they did to you. You are choosing your freedom over their chains.
As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.